Chapter 1, Section 3, A Unique Book. There is no doubt about it. The Bible is a unique book. Actually, it's a collection of books, 66 in all. Josh McDowell, in writing of the Bible's uniqueness, put it this way.
Here is a book written over a 1,500-year span, written over 40 generations, written by more than 40 authors from every walk of life, including kings, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, poets, statesmen, scholars, etc. Moses, a political leader, trained in the universities of Egypt. Peter, a fisherman. Amos, a herdsman. Joshua, a military general. Nehemiah, a cupbearer. Daniel, a prime minister. Luke, a doctor. Solomon, a king. Matthew, a tax collector. Paul, a rabbi. Written in different places. Moses in the wilderness, Jeremiah in a dungeon, Daniel on a hillside and in a palace, Paul inside a prison, Luke while traveling, John on the Isle of Patmos. Others in the rigors of a military campaign, written at different times, David in times of war, Solomon in times of peace, written during different moods. Some writing from the heights of joy and others from the depths of sorrow and despair. Written on three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. Written in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Finally, its subject matter includes hundreds of controversial topics. Yet, the biblical authors spoke with harmony and continuity from Genesis to Revelation. There is one unfolding story.
This one unfolding story is what we want to look at, simply and without theological jargon. By far the most unique thing about the Bible is that it claims to be God's own words. Often referred to as Scripture, the Bible states that
all Scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16.
The whole concept of God breathing out Scripture is a study in itself. Just as when one exhales his breath, and that breath comes from his innermost being, so ultimately all Scripture is to be viewed as the very product of God Himself. God and His words are inseparable, which is one reason the Bible is often referred to as God's Word. Highly simplified, it can be looked at this way. God told men what He wanted recorded about Himself, and those men wrote it down. Most of these men were called prophets.
In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, Hebrews 1:1.
Today we think of prophets as those who foretell the future, but in Bible times a prophet was a messenger who passed on God's words to the people. Sometimes the message had to do with future events, but more often than not, it was concerned with daily living. God guided the prophets in such a way that what was recorded was precisely what He wanted written. At the same time, God allowed the human writer to record His word, God's word, in the prophet's own unique style, but to do so without error. These men were not free to add their own private thoughts to the message. Neither was it something they dreamed up on their own.
You must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21.
God was not putting His stamp of approval on some literary effort of man. The phrase carried along is used elsewhere in the Bible in reference to the transporting of a paralyzed man. Just as the paralyzed man could not walk by his own power, so the prophets did not write the Bible at their own inclination. The Bible is clear on this point. It was God's message from beginning to end. The prophets wrote God's words on a scroll, usually an animal skin or paper made from plant fiber. The originals were called autographs. Since the autographs had a limited lifespan, copies were made of the scrolls, but such copies, and all by hand. The writer's awareness that what was being recorded was God's own word resulted in one of the most remarkable photocopy jobs ever done. In the book, The Origin of the Bible, Mark Norton wrote this about the Hebrew text.
They used every imaginable safeguard, no matter how cumbersome or laborious, to ensure the accurate transmission of the text. The number of letters in a book was counted, and its middle letter was given. Similarly, with the words, and again, the middle word was noted.
This was done with both the copy and the original autograph to ensure that they were exactly the same. These scribes were so accurate in their transcription that when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, written in 100 BC, and compared with manuscripts resulting from centuries of copying and recopying to a period of time 1,000 years later, 900 AD, there were no significant differences in the text. Josephus, a Jewish historian from the 1st century AD, summed it up for his people when he stated,
"How firmly we have given credit to those books of our own nation is evident by what we do. For during so many ages as have already passed, no one has been so bold as either to add anything to them, to take anything from them, or to make any change in them. But it becomes natural to all Jews to esteem those books divine."
These men were absolutely convinced that to meddle with the text was to tamper with God. We have ample reason to be assured that what we have today is essentially the same as what the prophets wrote. Truly, the Bible is a unique book by any standard. No wonder the Bible is
the most quoted, the most published, the most translated, and the most influential book in the history of mankind.
As we begin to navigate through the Bible, it may be helpful to know that the Scriptures are divided into two major sections, the Old and New Testament. Historically, the Old Testament portion was further subdivided into another two categories. The first section was called the Law of Moses, sometimes referred to as the Torah, the Books of Moses, or the Law. The second section was called the Prophets. Later on, a third section called the Writings was subdivided out of the Prophets. In the Scriptures, the phrase the Law and the Prophets is a way of referring to the entire Old Testament, a part which comprises approximately two-thirds of the Bible. The remaining one-third is referred to as the New Testament. Whether you remember the biblical categories or not is not that critical. The important thing to remember is that the Bible claims to be God's Word. Such a claim should cause even the most careless person to pause and consider what it has to say.
Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm. Psalms 119:89, New King James Version.